My life was almost taken from me, right? So when you, I think, get into those near-death experiences, all of a sudden that realness that we don't have forever shows up, and you're like, okay.
Greetings, wealthy women. I want to share this interview with you. I interviewed Jen Drummond for my other podcast, which is Get Your Fill, Financial Independence and Long Life. But I feel like a lot of what she has to say is so relevant to our community because it's all about mindset. It's all about making lemonade and just really maximizing your life, making goals that scare you. Jen Drummond, she's an entrepreneur. She's a world record holder. She's a mom of seven. She's the author of the recently released book, Breakproof: Seven Strategies to Build Resilience and Achieve Your Life Goals. And she's a superstar. She's a really amazing woman, really amazing human, done things that most men have never done. And certainly, well, that's why she's a world record holder. No women had ever done them. So I really think you'll enjoy this podcast. Thank you so much, Jen, for being with us today.
Having me.
You're like the poster person for achieving your life goals, right? I mean,
Yeah.
I'm.
Well, my life was almost taken from me, right? So when you, I think, get into those near-death experiences, all of a sudden that realness that we don't have forever shows up, and you're like, okay, I'm not going to be here forever. What do I want to do, see, experience, and try? Because I don't get to choose when I die, but I sure get to choose how I live, and it's time to start living.
It's so true. I mean, I had the same experience when I was 50. I just woke up and was like, oh my God, how am I 50? That can't be right. I haven't done anything yet, and life just takes its own little meandering course unless we take it by the reins and get a hold of it.
Yes, agreed. So much so.
So how did that process take place? So first of all, tell us a little bit about what you just said, how your life was almost taken from you, and then we can kind of go from there and see how you ended up to be who you are today.
Yeah, I mean, if we start back prior to the accident, I was in the financial service sector. So I was working with individuals and helping them build financial plans to retire, send junior to college, like all the different things. I absolutely loved the job, just because I love helping people. And it's so fun to hear everybody's different story and what they're trying to do with their life and how they define success and da 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 da. But I had been in that field for quite a while, and it was starting to just get a little mundane, right? Like the same story, just a little bit different. And I wasn't as passionate as I was in the beginning. I started having children. So then I started kind of hiring myself out of a job so that I could stay home with the kids, because I knew, we only get them for 18 years, or we like the, there's only so many weekends or so many summers, or all the things that keep getting thrown at us, like, this is gonna like end. So I was home with the kids, and I loved it, but I didn't love it as much as I thought I should, right? Like I really felt like guilty a little bit, because I had friends that their dream was to be a stay-at-home mom. Here I'm living that dream, and I'm like, there's got to be more to this. Like really, this is what this is. And I mean, I love my children, but I'm not the mom that loves glue sticks and like socks that have like pumpkins on them. That's just not who I am. So I just kept telling myself, hey, you know what? When they get to college, then I can get back to me. And I say that because I think everybody who's listening, we have that if-then story. It might look a little bit different. If I lose 10 pounds, then I'll be happy. If I have the big house, then I'll be happy. If I get the raise, then I'll do this, or right? And the reality is that's just an excuse in disguise. And when you start having that if-then thing, that's a clue to slow down and be like, okay, I don't want if-then. What can be now true? So I was driving home to my house in Park City, Utah, and I got into a horrific car crash with a semi truck. It should have taken my life. We still to this day do not know why it didn't. All the rebuilds of the accident did not give me a scenario of living, let alone walking away from the accident. And I just remember coming home and walking in that front door and knowing like, wow, I almost like you just listen, right? Like you listen to the sounds of your house, you smell the smell of your house, you look in and you take in the visuals of your house that maybe you've never really taken the time to be present to. And I just started sobbing. I'm like, there's pizza on the counter, there's kids screaming, there's like, you know, whatever. But it was the most beautiful thing because it was a moment that was almost a bonus moment to me. I almost didn't get to walk in that door again or yell about pizza on the counter or like, don't wear roller skates inside the house or, you know, like things, right? Yeah. And all of a sudden, it was like, how cool that this is what life looks like, or this is how it unfolds, or this is what happens, or these are the decisions that these people make, and what decisions am I making? And it really put me on this trajectory of, why was I saved? Like, why am I here? And 2019 became the year of the bucket list. I'm like, okay, if, well, if I'm here, what are things that I want to do if this is my last decade, year, month, week, or day of life? Because maybe I do want to see the pyramids. Maybe I do want to taste pasta in Italy. Maybe I do want to climb a mountain, you know, like just all those things. And I just allowed myself to put ridiculous things on a sheet of paper and be like, hey, if I had the option, this would be something that I'd like to experience. And the crazy thing is I was turning 40 in 2020. And so I looked at that list. I'm like, what am I going to do on my list for my 40th birthday? I'm like, you know what? I'm going to climb a mountain because it's only going to get harder as I get older. And what a great way to launch that next decade, like do something significant, climb a mountain, stand on top, say I'm here. And that goal just kind of kept expanding and expanding. And it turned into setting a world record and going across all seven continents and doing all these different things. And how fun, right? Like how fun.
How fun and how amazing. I mean, yeah. Really, a lot of people be like, oh, you know, I have two kids. I'm too busy. I can't get anything done. Right. And you're like, well, I have seven kids and I'm going to do, and all these other things going on. I mean,
yeah,
not everyone would like, make
like
that decision.
My kids were my excuse, and our society allows children to be our excuse, right? Because it's like, oh, you're such a good mom. You're at every single play and every single soccer game and every single everything. Right. So, oh, wow. But am I a good mom if inside I'm not happy or inside I haven't done one thing for myself this week because I've taken care of everybody else but myself?
Yeah.
And here's the thing about the accident. The accident was me in life. If I died, it was me. No one, like everybody's opinions of me, everybody's ideas of what I should be doing or how I should be acting or what makes a good parent were gone. The only thing I had to check in with was myself.
Yeah.
And I kept noticing, I'm like, you know what? I don't want my kids to have my life. My kids have, like, they're here for a purpose and a mission. And each one of them is so unique. I don't want them to put their entire life on hold because they had a child and they're afraid to miss one pageant at school. And like, oh my God, they're the worst parent ever. Like that was like, no, because life is this give and take, and we're each here with a unique story. And the more that we can own our story, the more that we make possible for ourselves and those around us.
Yeah, it's so true. And that's, you're absolutely right. That feeling of resentment, like these damn kids should be appreciative. I gave up my life for them. You know, I mean, you'd go into a prom, you know, sorry, a school player pageant or whatnot with that attitude, right? What are you actually giving them? And what are you actually teaching them?
Right. I mean, that was the big thing. I'm like, they're watching. And so if I'm not happy and I'm going through the motions, how are they knowing what to do that makes them happy? Right. And so the conversations around our house changed massively. I mean, I was training to climb a mountain named Ama de Blom. A friend told me like, it'd be a great mountain to climb. I'm like, okay, sounds good. It means the mother's necklace. COVID happens. Okay, well, I'm not training to go anywhere. Now I'm a homeschool teacher to seven children. And one of the days, one of my little guys was struggling with his math homework. And I'm giving him that pep talk. Like, we do hard things. Like, you've got this. And that kid looked up at me and he goes, Mom, if we do hard things, why are you climbing a mountain called I'm a Dumb Blonde instead of a real mountain like Mount Everest? I sat there. I'm like, I'm a dumb blonde. I'm a dumb blonde. It's I'm a dumb blonde, honey. Not I'm a dumb blonde, but thank you. We'll look at Everest. And so he finished his homework. We looked at Everest and he went to bed and I sat with myself. I'm like, you know what? If this kid thinks Everest is the hardest thing in the whole world, I'm going to climb it and I'm going to show him whatever Everest is, we're capable of summiting. And I called this coach and this coach is like, sure, I can get you ready. And I mean, I hadn't slept in a tent before, right? Like I hadn't been like, there was no things that would give you any like, oh, she's going to be fine. Except that I was like an athlete growing up, right? Like that's the only thing I had going for me. Every other thing had to be learned and taught and figured out and like all the things. And it just goes to show like when you're willing to do something, whatever that something is, whatever your Everest is, you can find a way to make it happen. Like you only have one life. You might as well try to climb your Everest because otherwise what's the point?
And I would even say, it's not even something that you want to happen. You decided that it was going to happen, right? You're not just saying, oh, this would be really cool. Wouldn't that be fun? Like, what a great story. You're like, dude, I'm doing this thing. Everybody just step aside and the universe does. It clears the way for you and you're like, wow, okay. And you meet the right person and then this happens and this happens. Like, explain how that, did that sort of, I mean, I don't know if this is true, but this is what I've experienced in my life. Like how like some mind-blowing stuff that just sort of allowed this whole dream and goal to facilitate itself and for you to facilitate it.
Yeah, no, I mean, first you declare, right? Like I am climbing Everest, okay?
Yes.
I might not summit, because I don't get to control the weather and there's a couple of variables there, but I'm going to give it my best and I am climbing Everest.
Right.
And so then I don't just say it and sit on my couch and like drink tea and hope it comes together. Like I do the things that would allow one to climb Everest, right? I call a coach that has trained people to climb the mountain before. That coach introduces me to people that have climbed Everest. I go to lunch with those people that have climbed Everest. I pick their brain. I hear their stories. I see them spill ketchup on their shirt. I'm like, okay, they're human. I've spilled ketchup on my shirt. We're good. And so then when I call my mom and I say, hey, mom, I'm climbing Everest, the energy I have in the pursuit, she's like, okay, my kid is climbing Everest. Like she's done her research. She knows her story. Like there's no way that you can poke a hole at me. And believe me, we all have that mom character. Some of it is mom, some of it's friends, some of it's counselor, some of it's husband or father or whatever. And that's the person in your life that's going to poke holes in whatever you're trying to do. In that, their job is to poke holes in whatever you try to do so that it makes sure you're really going to do what you say you're going to do. So for me, that's my mom. I love her for it. But I don't go to my mom with a half-baked idea. Like it's ready to go. And then when she pokes at me, it builds my confidence and I continue on the pursuit. And so, yeah, you start doing things to normalize your thing. You start doing things to make it seem possible versus so far away and distant. And you start closing the gap. And then as you close the gap, you start gaining momentum. And before you know it, you're on the summit of your Everest with a whole bunch of stories in between.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow, that's amazing. One of the things that you said, actually several things, but one thing I wanted to touch on is what you just said about when to talk to your mom, right? You don't say, you know, I was thinking, because that's what some of us do when the idea is just trying to get its little head out of the ground and someone comes along and goes, stamp, 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 and that's the end of it, right? And then we're just like, oh, like you're right. It's impossible. What was I thinking? That was so nutty. So talk about that, like that. How do you know when is the right time? How can you avoid, right, like allowing yourself to get trampled on like that?
Well, I mean, I think the first thing you need to ask yourself, like if you really want to do something and you share your idea too early, you're self-sabotaging, right? Like at the end of the day, you know, at some level, you're not like taking this as serious as you need to take it. So for me, I know my mom is my pillar of truth. So I knew that I had to talk to people. I had to normalize that. I had to get a few skills underneath my belt to build that, like, yeah, you know what? This isn't a pipe dream. This can actually happen. We're good. So that when I talked to my mom, it wasn't like, hey, I'm thinking of climbing Everest. It was, hey, I hired a coach. I signed up for next season. Here's the climbing company I'm working with. Here's why I'm working with them. And I'm going to climb Everest. Can you help me watch the kids while I'm gone? Right? Like, that's a totally different energy than like, I'm going to lob this up here and see what you think. And maybe you'll hit it out of the ballpark. And so when you have an idea, you're going to know, because when people come against you, which they will, that's the first test of your dedication to this pursuit.
Right.
If you're going to go forward or not. Like, this Everest goal turned into setting a world record and climbing the second highest peak on each of the seven continents. It hadn't been done by a female, blah, 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 blah. All the little details. One of the climbs was climbing in Antarctica. And you climb in Antarctica in like the months of December and January, because that's Antarctica's summer. So then light all the way around and blah, 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 blah. Well, I had this rule. I'm like, I'm not missing Christmas. I have seven kids. It's like the 4th of July over here in Christmas. It's September. It's my favorite holiday.
Right.
And we got this permit, and they allow one permit a year. So I'm harassing the company that gives the permit out. I'm like, it's my turn. I deserve it. You haven't had a woman climb this thing. Like, you know, all the stops. And they finally like concede. And they're like, okay, you can have the permit, but you need to leave like December 18 and you'll come back January 9. I'm like, oh, I'm not doing it. Never mind. I told you I'm not missing Christmas. And then I thought to myself, you know, like, you know what? I'm just going to bounce it off my kids. And I'm just going to say like, hey, here's what happened. Cause they're invested in this process with me at this point. Anyways, I've climbed some of the mountains. I have so many left. They're kind of excited about the news and everybody getting attached to the story. And so I'm having this like State of the Union conference at my house. And I'm like, hey guys, Mom got the permit, but it's happening over Christmas. So I'm going to delay and we'll just see what happens in the next couple of years. And before I could even like finish my talk, one of my kids goes, but Mom, you've always told us that Christmas is a feeling, not a day. Why does it matter what day we celebrate Christmas on? And then one of my other kids is like, does that mean we get two Christmases? You know, because they have friends that get two Christmases and they don't quite understand why that works that way and they'd only get one. And so like, we have this huge discussion. I'm like, you know what, let's sit on it for just a couple of days and like really make sure that we're all on page. And so we sat on it and we talked about it. We mapped out what Christmas would look like and all this stuff. And I'm like, you know what? Yeah, we can move Christmas this year. It's 1 year. We're still going to celebrate. It's just a different day. And we were convicted and the people I cared most about were on board. Let me tell you how important that was, because the minute that got announced to anybody outside of my teeny tiny little bubble, like, oh, you're selfish. You're terrible, Mom. I can't believe you did this. How horrible. Like, you're blah, 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 blah.
Oh my God.
It was fascinating how much hate came our way. And it was actually something that really united us, because it gave us something to talk about. Like, look at people's opinions and look how much we worked through and talked through this and really figured this out. And we're okay with it. And it made us even closer. And it just helped me like have discussions about social media with my kids and opinions and all this kind of stuff and how important it is to honor your own intuition and what feels right, because everybody's going to have a version of it. And it turned out to be a positive. And so when you have a goal, you're going to have resistance. And it's going to come in a million different formats. Maybe it's like you have to cross a ladder and all of a sudden it's scary because you're afraid of heights. Maybe it's like people saying bad things about you. Maybe it's this, maybe it's that. That's just resistance. That doesn't mean stop. That doesn't mean quit. That just means like, oh, this is how the universe is going to test me to see if I'm really going to do the thing I said I'm going to do.
Yep. Because your mother was over it then. You couldn't count on her.
Right, no,
she was like, already on board, so you needed something else.
yeah, totally. So it worked.
I mean, I'm amazed. So tell me how old your kids were, like the age ranges of your kids when this all began. So 2019, what were you?
Yeah, so my first climb was in 2020.
Okay.
Right. So I climbed Ojos del Salado in December of 2020, which was the second highest point of South America. And so that is 3 years ago, because no one's had their birthday yet. So my oldest was 14 and my youngest were 9. So now we're 17 and my youngest are 11, or maybe 8 were the youngest. But the thing is like, so some mountains took time, right? Okay. So when I went to Mount Kenya, I was gone for a week. when I went to Everest, I was gone for 3 weeks. Like normally people are gone for 8 weeks, but here's the cool thing about that. I was like, I can't be gone for 8 weeks. Like I'm the main caregiver for these children. 8 weeks is way too long for their ages, blah, 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 blah. And so I met with a doctor here in Park City and he works with altitude. He's like, hey, there's actually like this company out in New York that makes these tents that you can sleep in that mimic a lack of oxygen environment. Maybe you could try this and see if that works. Football teams use it when they go to play football in Denver because they're at sea level and it like helps them get ready. I'm like, oh, okay. So I call this company and they're like, well, you know, it hasn't been tested a ton at that level of altitude, but we're willing to try it. I'm like, I'm willing to try it. If I don't summit, it's okay, but at least I tried and we're figuring this whole thing out. So we had this protocol where I had to sleep in this tent that took out the oxygen from the room. So then my body had this stress. So then it produced more red blood cells. So then when I got to Everest, my team had gone up the mountain a couple times. I missed those rotations. Yeah. I only went up once, came back down, and then we went for the summit push and I had success. Like it worked, but like the original roadblock was I can't be gone for 8 weeks. Instead of saying, okay, not going to do this, we started, okay, what are options? What are ways that we can work around this that would allow me to be gone for less time and still do this pursuit? And I'm telling you, I had never heard of such a thing. I'm like, what? A tent? Who? How? And like, you just start down these rabbit holes and you start finding solutions and then things start coming together.
Yeah, because you've got two non-negotiables, right? We're doing Everest and we're going to do it in 3 weeks. So let's figure out how that what needs to happen to make that work.
Yeah, yeah. And having those boundaries, I know boundaries is like the buzzword these days, but those boundaries give your brain the creative space to play, to come up with a solution.
Absolutely. And I can only imagine the kind of blah, blah that you heard from all different kinds of people when you're like, oh, I got to do it in 3 weeks. I'm like, what does she think? She's going shopping? You know, what the hell, you know?
Right, right, right. Well, and then I got my, so I'm gone for 3 weeks, which still to me felt like forever. I'm like, oh my God, I've never been gone this long. They're not going to remember me. Like all this story right up in your head. And so I went to the kids' school and I remember going to meet with the teacher. I'm like, hey, listen, I'm going to be gone. Grandma's here. Nanny's here. Like, here's what's happening. I just want you to know, so maybe you can offer my children a little bit of grace. And the teacher was like, you're climbing Everest? I'm like, yeah. She's like, you know what? Why don't you come in and do a goal setting lesson on like climbing Everest with the kids? And we can like follow you along, because I had this tracking device when I was climbing. Yeah. So the kids like colored little hikers and they put a goal up, like make a travel soccer team, ski a black diamond ski run, like all the things that kids put on the thing. Right. And then in the front of the school, we made this huge mountain. And then we had a little tracker, which was me, like this little hiker. And as I moved up the mountain, the school would move me. And at base camp nowadays, because of technology advances, I could Zoom call in to the classrooms. So I would Zoom call into the classrooms and be like, where'd you poop? What'd you eat? You know, like kid questions. And so the kids were all a part of this. So here I'm on the mountain. And a couple of times I wanted to turn around. I'm like, I can't turn around. There's an entire school following me and feeling like what I'm doing. They'd be so disappointed. Like I have to keep going. And so I summited and it was like the whole school summited, right? I come home. And I have like little kids coming over to my house after school to play with my kids. And like, you're the mom that climbed Everest. I want to climb Everest someday. I'm like, I'll coach you. Like you can. And like, I was gone for 3 weeks and my kids were so supported and so loved on by my community that it's an experience they would have never had, had I not done that pursuit.
And that's, I mean, everything you're talking about is like, I'm thinking of all these self-limiting beliefs that people are throwing out. Oh, I couldn't do that to my family and I wouldn't do that, right? But they're not thinking about the impact, the bigger picture and what you're teaching people about what life is all about. I mean, I can just imagine. And now you said some of your children or one of your children, you had said that one of your children is now 17, right?
Yes, yes.
And how are you seeing what you've been through manifest?
Yeah. So it's been fun. So I finished the world record and I, you know, have some of the kids and been talking to them, and a couple of them like, hey mom, I want to climb. Like, I want to feel what the climb is like. I'm like, okay. So we just did in February of this year, I took my three oldest, so 17, 15, and 14, to Kilimanjaro. And I'm like, okay, it's a hard climb. It's above 19,000 feet. So that's going to be challenging. We did this 7-day route so that they could be off devices and acclimatize easier and have the more scenic route. And we did this climb with a couple of their friends. I brought some of their friends with them. And it was awesome because they learned, like, you just watch these lessons unfolding, right? Like, so the first day it's a 6 or 7 hour day, and they're like boys, right? So they're determined to get it to the camp as fast as they can. So they're like, hiking up the mountain, they get to the camp and they beat all the poor, like nothing's set up, right? Like none of the tents are set up. There's no food. There's no water. There's nothing to do except sit and wait. And you can tell them that all day long, right? Like, it's not about the destination. You should be enjoying the journey because whatever, by the end of this pursuit, there would be some days that were 4 hour hikes. They would start like exploring the creeks, or they'd like, hey, go look at this tree, or how cool is this? And all of a sudden they started having more fun on the journey because they realized, okay, the destination, I'm going to get there. And if I have the confidence that I'm going to get there, how I play and experience that process is entirely different than if I have a fear that I'm not going to make it.
Yeah.
And there was just so many, like, they got to have relationships with the porters, and, you know, my guys are carrying 12-pound backpacks and like complaining, and then comes by them with Crocs on and a 45-pound bag balancing on their head, singing songs. And all of a sudden they're like, I don't have any room to complain. And they're like, look, we had discussions about how contagious enthusiasm is, and like, you know, like, do our super fancy tennis shoes matter? Like, I just climbed the thing in Crocs, like, what? And then at the end of the pursuit, it was awesome. One of my guys came up to me, he's like, hey mom, do you think we could just give all of our stuff away because these guys need it more than we do, and we just want to say thank you? And so my guys left all their gear for all the people that helped us up that pursuit, and they came home, and all their friends were in Mexico having like the traditional spring break, and they were super jealous and super mad at me that they had to go climbing, even though at one point they wanted to. When it came down to it, they didn't. And at the end, they're like, this is my favorite trip ever. And so it's so fun because guess what? They can't manipulate their way up the mountain. They can't be like, there's a pace to nature that they learn how to connect to that I don't know if you get another way.
Yeah. Well, not only that, I mean, I think a lot of parents would give their right arm just to have their kids off social media for 7 days.
Well, and here's the cool thing. It's like, my kids are definitely the kids that are, I'm like, can you put your phone down? Can you put your phone down? Can you put your phone down? On day five, we were high enough that they could have they could connect. I don't know if it'd be great connection, but we knew they could connect. And by the time they got there, they're like, I don't even want to look. Because I know whatever I'm going to see is going to be the same stuff I'm going to see in 3 days from now. And I'm just going to wait the next 3 days. And that was decisions they made.
Yeah.
And on day one, they would not be making that decision.
Yeah.
But on day five, they kind of had like, oh, this isn't so bad. Oh, I already know what's happening because this is the cycle and the pattern that all my friends are into and whatever. And so it was such an amazing experience that I'm going to go again. Like, I'm going to take people again this August because the kids that came were like, I want, you know, I don't want to take, they like, they shared with other friends, and those moms have called me and like, hey, will you take my son? I'm like, 100%, let's go.
Yeah. So yeah. Who all is able to go on this trip?
You know, I really encourage a parent and their child, because I think it's a bonding experience that you just don't get other places. But I mean, I had friends come along with me on this trip that were in their 60s. I had some in their 30s. Nature is the great equalizer. So it doesn't really matter how fit you are, how old you are, whatever. Kilimanjaro is a very good entry level pursuit. And Africa's gorgeous. Like, the people are gorgeous. The landscape's gorgeous. Like, all the things. It's once you get over there, you're just like, wow, this exists.
Yeah. So I don't think too many people would agree with you that Kilimanjaro would be an entry-level hike. I mean, I know people who think a walk around the neighborhood is an entry-level hike. So
that's true. Okay, entry-level, like, big mountain experience, right? Like, the nice thing about Kilimanjaro is you don't have crevasses or you don't have these life-threatening experiences. It is a safe walk. that is 7 days in a row. So it's a lot, but it's not, you know, when you get to Everest, there's things that can happen that are out of your control. That can take your life, and you don't have that in Kilimanjaro.
Yeah. So how many miles are people hiking in a day? I'm just in case people are thinking about it.
You know, it's less about distance and it's more about elevation.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But I think the whole thing, so over 7 days is 35 miles.
Oh, okay. So I mean, that's just a walk in the park, right?
Yeah, I mean, right. Totally. I mean, I would if you're coming off the sofa, you need 12 weeks to train. Yeah. And then you'll be able to enjoy the experience instead of like every day being like, oh my gosh, I made it. I'm here. Like, you know, if you have some fitness, like these boys in high school, I mean, they came off the sofa. I gave them training plans. They decided they didn't really want to follow them. I'm like, oh, you're going to learn. And they did okay. But they all are like, yeah, we probably should have done a few of those like stairs that you suggested, mom. So, yeah.
But people have 12 weeks now, so they could, right between now and August, they have the time.
The training is fun, and grab some friends, and it's such a special memory, right? And we're in the business of creating memories. And so I just think it's, oh, I love it. I'm so excited to go back and take some more people.
Yeah. I'm curious about your family. You know, I mean, you obviously have a lot of support and a great communication relationship with your kids. Was that always the case?
You know, I don't know if we were as intentional with our conversation before as we were afterwards. You know, we use the word Everest in our house. So if you have an Everest, you only get one. And whatever your Everest is like the biggest thing going on in your life right now. And that gives me language to understand how to support you. So for example, this week, one of my kids is having a relationship issue, and that's his Everest right now. And I'm like, okay, I know to treat this like really seriously, because this is a huge deal to you. It maybe not be a big deal to me, but I need to see it from your perspective. I have another kid that's taking a chemistry test today. This week, that was his Everest, right? So it's like, how are we like training and making sure we're ready and doing all the different things? So having language that helps you all understand what each other's Everest is helps us support each other correctly. And one of the things I learned from this whole pursuit is big mountains take big teams. So if you have a big goal, you're not going to be able to do it by yourself. Like, I don't think we were designed to be honest with you. And so when I start getting tired or exhausted or start wanting to negotiate my goal with myself, oh, I was being ambitious. I'll just dial it back.
Was that crazy? Okay.
Yeah. That was crazy. I have those moments, like, forgive me. But instead of like leaning into that, saying, okay, let's change it. Now I pause and be like, okay, do I have enough people helping? Have I shared this enough with others? And it's just little teeny tiny things. Like today I was hired to give a speech somewhere, and they wanted my W-9 so they could 1099 me and get all those details or whatever. Right. I'm sitting there, like, I'm like, my day is packed. I don't have time to do this. So I did have time to call my accountant and say, hey, can you send this over to this place for me so it's done? The accountant did it, CC'd me, and we were good. That probably saved me 20 minutes. Well, 20 minutes with seven kids and a business and all this stuff adds up. Exactly. And I just think a lot of times we think we can do all these little things. We can. But it takes away energy from the bigger things. Exactly. And so we have to just be more cautious of how we spend our time.
Yeah, that who, not how, that's my favorite expression.
Who, not how,
right?
Huge, yes.
Love that.
Thank you, Dan Sullivan. Yes.
And also, why not focus on the things that only you can do?
Right, right.
Why not delegate the other stuff, right? There's somebody said, I listened to a speech one time, the person said, you know, Superman would be a great pizza delivery guy, but, you know, probably not his highest and best use. So same with us, right?
Love that. No. And my kids will be like, my mom's not the type of mom that does laundry. Like, we don't have to tell everybody that, but thank you, sweethearts. But they just know, like, when you have seven kids, there's limited time. I want to do story time and bath time and like homework. That means I can't cook and do laundry and do all these other things. Like, there's only so much time. So when I start looking at what I can give away, okay, I could give away homework, but then I don't get to have that talk, or I don't get to know what's going on in their school, or I could give away laundry. I'm giving away laundry.
That is a no-brainer. Even without kids, that's a no-brainer. Because who cares who does your laundry, right? It's going to be like, oh, I don't think mom did this laundry. Oh, it's not as good. You know, like, who cares, right?
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. This is fantastic. So a question I have for you, after you did all these things, right? Okay, oh, did that. Do you ever feel like, oh, you know, like what now? Did you have any sort of feeling of deflation after everything? I know there's always like a woohoo, but then was there like a, huh, now what? You know, shall I just watch a rerun of the Brady Bunch? You know, I mean, it's probably before your time, but you know what I'm saying?
Oh, no, it is. I mean, it's truly a thing because you had so much energy, you had so much passion, you had so much focus on this pursuit. I remember like getting close. I'm like, all of a sudden I had one mountain left. I'm like, oh my gosh, this thing's going to happen. Like I have one mountain left. Like who would have thought 2 years ago? I'm like, we'll see. At least I'm trying something that no one's done. So if I fail, it's expected. Right. So all of a sudden I'm one mountain away and I'm like, wow. And then that last bout, and I was so, it's so funny. I paused so many more times on that climb. And I just was like, look at the scenery. We're never going to see the scenery again. Or look at this or do this. Like I was just so much more present because I knew it wasn't going to happen again. And I wish like I could carry that in my everyday life. I'm just not, I get into the routine and just start going. But it was definitely a lesson in that. And when it was done, it was like, oh, wow. Like it's done. Like I thought it was going to be so much harder. You know, you think it's going to be harder or whatever, like all the things.
Yeah.
And people ask you like, what's next? And for me, my favorite answer has been like, you know what? My kids are watching, which is kind of why I started this whole thing to begin with. And I need to show them that a season of winter or a season of not doing something or not pursuing something or not going 110 miles an hour is still to be celebrated, experienced, and treasured. And so for this whole year, I've been very intentional about not committing to something else and just allowing myself to kind of like replay the memories and learn things and say like, okay, I have limited time. When I pick something else, I know I'll go 110%. So I need to make sure that I'm very conscientious of what I pick. Might be the 7 nicest beaches in the world after this last experience.
That sounds good.
I don't know, but it's definitely gonna be something different, but I'm really enjoying knowing that there will be something. So for now, just enjoy like having the space to play.
Yeah. And that's so vital. I mean, so many of us, right? Like, okay, made that goal. Now what? We're just looking around for the next thing because the only thing we're caring about is achieving the goal. But the idea of just relaxing and enjoying the fact that you achieve the goal.
It's hard.
And it's rare too, I feel.
Yeah, no. And it's so interesting. I did triathlons for a while. And I remember my rest day was like the hardest day of the whole week because you're not getting any feedback from your body of like, yeah, I pushed this or yeah, I overcame this, right? Like you're just sitting there and you're kind of like, oh man, like my body really wants to move right now and I can't. And just learning how to practice that pause and have that be just as important as like the thing that's the pursuit, because otherwise what happens is this burnout or this, like, I'm always going and I don't even know if I'm making my choices anymore, because once I choose something, then everything starts putting things in motion. And yeah, I think it's really important for us to be able to have that space and learn how to sit with that space.
Yeah, absolutely. So what does life look like for you now? Like what's an average day or an average week or whatever?
Yeah. You know, there's like when you're a speaker, there's no average. Like there's some weeks where I have 3 speeches. There's some weeks where I have no speeches. There's some weeks where I travel for them. When I do travel, normally, because it's like kind of an in and out trip, I'll take a kid with me so they can kind of see the non-pretty part of these pursuits that we do. Yeah, I have a little bit of vacation coming up with the family that I'm excited about. So I don't have a typical day. I would say I have a typical week of either making sales calls to try to land new speeches, practicing speeches for the ones that are coming up, planning some of these trips, right? Kilimanjaro, we're going to do in August.
Yeah.
We have this little competition starting April 1st. Which is an Everest challenge. So we climb the height of Everest over 40 days. It's as much as a mental challenge as it is a physical challenge, yeah. Which when you get into climbing, you realize of the people that don't summit, it's a mental game more than a physical game, right? And so that mental piece is just so important. And if you can consolidate a goal into 40 days, what you trip up on in those 40 days is the same thing you're going to trip up on if the goal is bigger and longer. So it just helps us identify like spots that we need to build resilience in and then help achieve other things that we're going for.
Yeah. I'm curious about the, like what happened, you know, I mean, I know like what happened. I almost got in an accident. I realized that I almost died, but something else shifted right in your mind where all of a sudden, like the world is different now. Is there a way to describe that?
I think I was so aware of everybody's view of me, everybody's perception of what a good mom was, everybody, like there's so many definitions that just felt really important to, oh, achieve this and achieve that or achieve that, or this is what it looks like, or this is what it is. And at the time of the accident, it was like a perfect storm of, you know, I had achieved a lot of things and I'm like, is this really what I put all this energy into? And this is how I feel? Like, what? Like, what am I missing? Why am I hungry for more when I already have so much? And I think that hunger is because you're satisfying external rewards instead of internal rewards. And that accident, so it happened. And a few weeks after that accident, my girlfriend of mine went running on a trail. And she actually asked me to go with her that day. And I said, I can't, I've got too much going on, but thanks for the invite. I got a phone call later on that afternoon from her husband because she was running, it was wet. She slipped on a rock, hit her head and never came home. And so I'm like, I just survived this horrific car crash that my car looked like a tin can. She did something healthy and what? Yeah. Like, because that did not, like none of it made sense and there was no way to do whatever.
Yeah.
All of a sudden I was like, why do I even care what you think or what she thinks or whatever? Like if I keep chasing your version of success, I'm never going to have it.
Right.
And so it really became this moment of what is it for me? And how do I like, and I started to check in with how I was feeling instead of what I was doing. Because I really feel like once we learn to check in with ourselves and say like, this feels good or this doesn't feel good, because sometimes things don't feel good in the short run, but they get us somewhere in the long run, right? So we're willing to have that discomfort. But if we start just dissociating all the time because it's so uncomfortable, but we want like X, Y, or Z, we lose touch with our intuition.
Yeah.
And it's really important to get back into that. What is it for me? Because I'm here. And I have things that I see that are important to me. And that's okay that it's not important to you. My mom, for example, she lives in Michigan. She flew out here. We live in Park City. We go to Costco. We exit Costco and there's gorgeous mountain ranges like in every viewpoint, right? And I look at those mountains and I cannot wait to climb every single one of them. I'm like, I just want to see what it's like from the top and that angle and that view and that whatever. My mom looks at her and she's like, there's zero things about any of these mountains, except for right here, I think they're really pretty to look at. But I don't want to get closer to them. I don't need to climb them. I don't need to do anything. We get into my house. I have this bookshelf. I could care less what's on my bookshelf. Like I don't even look at the bookshelf. My mom's an interior designer. She can like pull things from all different places, make this bookshelf look like it belongs in a catalog. I'm like, I don't even know if I had these items in my home, right? It just goes to show that we have such different things that get us excited, and that's okay. Like own what it is for you and do that thing. Because when I start doing what gets me excited, I by default give you permission to do what gets you excited.
Yeah.
And there's no judgment. There's no like, oh, that's better or worse or whatever. It's all equal. It's just different.
Yeah. Exactly right. So many people be like, oh, you know, my mom's coming. I've got to clean up my house. I've got to change it around because, you know, she doesn't like this or she's an interior designer. So I'm going to change the way my house normally looks so that my mom's happy. When really it's like, hey, this is me. This is you. Hey, you're great. You're wonderful. I'm so appreciate what you've done with the colors here, but don't expect it to look like this the next time you come.
Exactly. Right. Or it's, or like when we go to her house, I call it the museum. I'm like, I love that you love to live in a museum. I have seven humans. Like this is not something we can visit. We can't live in this environment and function. Like, but thank you.
But you're absolutely right. I mean, that was even what I was thinking of when I was asking you the question, you started to answer. I'm like, yes, everything before was external. It was like, what do I need to do to be a good mom? And what do I need to do to make this person, that person? And actually it's like, it feels like it just like got sucked inside and said, no. Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
What an amazing experience, or I should say,
an amazing, right? Like a reconnection to myself. It's been such a cool journey. For sure.
And I just want to congratulate you, because I'm sure there are people out there who have had similar experiences and have not dealt with them in the same way. And you just totally embrace life. And it's wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm grateful, right? Like I'm grateful I'm still here. So exactly. Not always so grateful when I get a call from the principal's office, but you know, whatever, you got to take the good and the bad.
And that in the long run, that stuff doesn't matter, right? Who cares? High school is a fake construct anyway. It's nobody, right? Forget that.
No, it's been interesting. Yeah, definitely.
So, Jen, what do you wish I would have asked you? What is it that you really want to make sure people know and take away from this conversation?
You know, I think my superpower that came to me after the accident that I'd like everybody to think about in their own lives is that being kind to myself actually has made me stronger. I used to be hard on myself and judge myself and like get down on myself. And that doesn't change the situation of what's happened or hasn't happened. In fact, it just doesn't even set me up for success as easily the next day, where I learned that the language that I use internally of like, oh, wow, that was interesting, or that's curious, or that doesn't make me feel good. Being kind to myself has actually made me stronger and allowed me to accomplish more, do more, and actually enjoy the process more. So if you're listening today, just check in. Like, what can you do today that can actually be kind to yourself that allows you to do the things that you desire to do?
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Hey, right away.
So what is the best way? I mean, I don't know. Is it even appropriate for people to try to reach you or reach out to you if they want to be on your trip to Kilimanjaro, or if they just want to say, wow, you're amazing, or something like that?
Oh my gosh, yes. I love people. Like, right. This is the stage of where I'm like, I've done my thing. So let me cheer you on your thing. So please reach out on jendrummond.com. That's my website. I'll have the social channel, so you can pick a social platform of choice and say hello. You can buy the book there. You can sign up for an expedition. That sounds exciting to you. And for everybody listening today, I wanted to leave you with a little gift. So I have the most beautiful photo or video of the Milky Way going over Everest Base Camp. And if you text the word Everest to the number 33777, it will show up to you on your phone. And anytime I get overwhelmed or exhausted or just feel like life's heavy, I'll take the 20 seconds, I'll look at this video, and I'm just reminded like, okay, I'm getting a little serious. Life's fun. I'm this tiny human on this huge planet with this crazy galaxy. We're okay. So I just want to share that with you, because it's one of those things that kind of grounds me into getting out of my own way. And I hope it does the same for you.
Amazing. Thank you so much for being with us today. I've just really enjoyed talking with you. And I know everyone else has too.
Thank you. Thank you.
And thank you, listener, for listening. I bet you can sit down right now and think of at least 10 people who would love to hear what Jen has to say. So please do that. Share this episode with them. You will make their day and potentially even, you know, change their life a little bit. And what could be bad about that? And in the meantime, have a fantastic week.